What's up? What's up? Do not change that dial. This is not your typical host. This isn't George. This isn't RGT. This is another American takeover of the UCP podcast with yours truly, Triple S. And joining him is his, the I guess, you when you want to be the president of the UCP American office, the vice president. I don't know. We'll come up with terms. But joining him is Bobby. Bobby, how you doing today?
What's up, man? How are you? It's part three, baby.
Yeah, man. It's
part three.
At this point in part three, you know, we're going to do better than a lot of mainstay like series when they have their third installment in movie franchises.
I hope so.
I feel like when you get to three, you go bad, you know, like,
yeah,
I guess Die Hard is a good example. I think like the first two were pretty solid and then the third one's pretty bad.
Went
and
down. Then, Godfather, yeah, similar.
Godfather, Land Before Time.
Yep, the Arkham, the Batman trilogy, Nolan trilogy.
Oh, that's a good example. That is a good example. So I'm like, yeah, I feel like now
we got to be Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
I feel like that was a good final.
Yeah, that might have been the best, I guess, third installment of all time, right?
Mm-hmm. It has to be.
I can't think of anything else.
I cannot either, bro.
So, Bobby, you are about to have a surgery, and that's going to put you on the shelf. But you'll have plenty of time to play games for about, what, is it 8 weeks?
It's going to be like 8 to 10 weeks.
8 to 10 weeks. So you want to inform the audience what's going on?
Yeah, so basically I have a hiatal hernia, which they're going to take care of tomorrow morning. Apparently you got to be at the hospital at 6 o'clock in the morning. So that's very early, but I hope it is early so I can just, because no matter what, I got to stay over 24 hours.
Okay.
But the ones I come back, I mean, probably not the first day back, but maybe the second day when I'm recovering, I have a whole list of games that I missed out on because I played Diablo 4 for months on months on months, which definitely hindered some other games I played. And then Lords of the Fallen came out. Me and my stepfather did both those, and that took a lot of time. So I have a lot of backlog. From what I remember, I know I have Spider-Man 2. I have not played that at all. I have a bunch of puppet combo games I bought on a sale. So they're like low res, like PS1 looking horror games.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch of stuff in the shelf I had to think of. I want to finish Lies of P. I got the RoboCop. Oh my God. I have so many games like I can play. And I have a bunch of horror movies on the watch list.
Okay.
My wife hates horror. So I want
to
play all those while she is at work.
Okay.
And she'll be home by 6. So if I get up, like I'm going to work, I have like 9-10 solid hours of doing whatever I want.
Okay. I got you. So, man, it seems like you're going to have a lot of backlog to move through. Oh, man.
I'm hoping to get through, like, if I can, get through all of it, which would be amazing. Perfect.
What's going to be the main game featured during this backlog hunting of yours? Do you have, like, a main game that you really want to tackle in all this time?
Definitely Spider-Man 2. I've been trying to play that forever. The only reason why I didn't even play it was because work's been so busy that by the time I get home, it's late or I'm just too tired. And then, you know, obviously with the low iron and everything, I, you know, can't really sleep that well.
Yeah.
But so I haven't really had time to do anything just besides maybe a couple FIFA games or, you know, just whatever. But, yeah, so I want to definitely do Spider-Man 2. I have Lies of P. And I think there's another big game I have purchased. I don't remember right now. And a bunch of little indies. I want to knock them all out.
Okay.
That's my goal. Let's see what happens.
On the you mentioned like a low res puppet game. Have you tried My Friendly Neighborhood yet?
No, I have it on my wish list.
Okay.
I saw a couple of trailers. I'm not really sure how I feel about that. But when I was looking at that, they had a new game come out. I think it's called like Paradise of Zombies or something.
Mm-hmm.
That looked interesting. It looked like oh my God, so no, I can't remember the game. It's like it looks like a 3D top down horror game with co-op. So it looked like, you know, like a parody of other insane zombie games. It looks pretty funny.
Yeah, I talked to the creators from that studio during a gaming convention, and you know, they mentioned like some of their upbringing and also like some of the projects they were working on. And I got hands on with because the publisher that basically their publisher is one that basically handles a lot of the indie games that do horror such. Yeah. It's like that publisher is almost like they just look for horror indie games at that point.
Oh, and that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. It's cool that niche is out there. I'm a chicken, so I don't know. I normally stay away from that sort of thing. But like, yeah, they mentioned, so they made My Friendly Neighborhood, and then like another guy was a part of the publishing team made Choo Choo Charles, I believe you're
which I beat that game. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have quite a litany over there of like really creative and innovative like horror games that they're just dropping left and right. And there's a convention that's not necessarily like down the road from you, but figuratively speaking for the European listeners, it is like a couple of major cities away in Boston, called PAX East. And that's about to happen at the end of this month, where like PAX East is almost like E3 used to be, and where you'll get to go on. A lot of people get to go on the show floor. They get to try out the new games that some of them are AAA, some of them are indie spaces, and they get to go from booth to booth trying out all these like really cool games. So yeah, that is like that's a convention that happens once a year. The PAX East happens in Boston, and then PAX West happens at the end of the year in Seattle. And yeah.
Oh, wow. I always wanted to go to one of those. I just never had the chance to do it.
I think you should. I think it really opens your eyes to like some really cool, I guess you could say it really opens your eyes to how much effort goes into making an indie game, because you can actually meet the people, see them face to face. And yeah, like me, myself, I'm like, I, through like the podcast and also the site, you know, like I'm able to like be marketed as press. So I get to go hands on behind closed doors with those interviews. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. So it's really cool time though. It's a really cool time. I'm curious though, like it seems like because of like your time with Lords of the Fallen, because of Diablo and FIFA and such like that, you mentioned you had a major backlog, and Spider-Man 2 was on that backlog. Mm-hmm. Is Alan Wake on that backlog? Like Alan?
Oh, Wake yes, 2? Yes, uh-huh. It is. I have those. Yeah, I bought a bunch of games on sale plus Christmas. I got a couple gifts from my family.
Okay,
it's just stack. And then I think I bought a few like from digital, mm-hmm, that was on sale. So I don't remember exactly, but I know like if I open my drawer, I'm like, oh wow, let me tell you all these games I have to play.
Yeah, there's Baldur's Gate 3, Alan Wake. And did you play the new Prince of Persia?
No, I didn't. I don't know. It looks, not sure yet. I mean, I saw the trailer, but I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Are you not a big fan of Metroidvanias?
I am. I don't know. I just don't like the style of it, I guess. It looks kind of, I don't know, it looks kind of weird. Like, I'm not used to it looking like that, I guess, after they did the PS2 games.
Okay.
Or whatever's on PS3. Now it goes back to like kind of like the original Prince of Persia style. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't play it. I just don't think, I have to look more into it, I guess.
Is when you say style, is it the art style? Is it more like the 2D style of it?
It's just the art style. Look, I don't know. Like, when I saw the trailer, it looked like they won. It looks like it was a game released like a long time ago, and then they forgot about it, and then they released it.
Oh, gotcha.
It just looks kind of, I don't know yet. You know what I mean? It's weird.
So I think
I thought I care about graphics. I'm just saying, to me, it just looks a little
strange. I think just segues into like one of the questions I was going to ask you. Like, how familiar are you with like what's going on in video games revolving like the layoffs versus budgets and all that kind of things right now?
I mean, I've noticed through the news a lot of layoffs are happening. I'm not exactly sure why it's happening, but like every publisher is like laying off like hundreds of employees.
Yeah, for sure. So not to be insensitive to all this, all the employees by marginalizing that, because that's a major part of this, and we, our hearts, you know, go out to everyone affected. But it's massive how many people are being laid off. I think it was like reported that 1,800 were just Microsoft alone. PlayStation was around the 600 to 700.
Wild drop offs.
Oh man, yeah, everywhere they're reporting layoffs. But well, the reason why I bring this up is because, like, when you mentioned Ubisoft's like art style with Prince of Persia and how you felt like it was a little bit, I guess you could say archaic, or maybe it felt like it was behind the times with this art style. You know, like, if there seems like there's going to be a big motion of like minimizing budgets going forward, to where like PlayStation has said, like, in their big leading titles, they felt like the budget, especially with Spider-Man 2, ballooned to over $200 million, you know, when the first game didn't cost nearly that much to make, neither did the you know, the mid installment Miles Morales. So they're dialing back the, I guess you could say, the budget for all their major franchises going forward. And it makes, for a lot of people, there's concern there that, like, the games that we've become accustomed to, like Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us Part 1, Part 2, God of War, like God of War and Ragnarok, those games are going to be, like, the scale of those games, the big cinematic, not just feel of them, but, like, the scale and detail of those are going to be marginalized a bit because the budget is also going to be reduced quite heavily. Does that worry you?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
It does, because I love a good, obviously, solo venture. I think, mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of people do. Like, I played all those games, and I think they're fantastic, and I love, you know, it just seems like you're just playing a movie, especially now with the transitions and everything else, the storytelling, the acting, you know, like, it's more than a video game almost. It's almost like you're playing a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what I was always thinking is, like, I remember back in the 80s and 90s, right, video games being $50.
Okay.
So if you upscale that now, video games are now, what, $70?
Yes.
Depending. It's not that much difference from 30 years, 40 years from where it used to be. So, I mean, if everything else is going up in price, I would almost expect video games to go up in price, but they really haven't, unless you're buying like a special edition or something. I mean, I don't know how much it would help, but it would probably help if they, not that I'm saying, you know, it's life, it happens. Things go up in price. It just does. They could raise video game prices if they had to. People would still buy them.
So that's one thing that's being discussed right now, is like, they, for in US, they went up from 50 to 60, and then 60 to 70. And that was with this last iteration, that was the big price increase. It's being talked about right now that, you know, some studios are thinking of doing the $100 model, like going up to 100. Do you think that's a little egregious? Especially if you like Spider-Man 2, one of the big like knocks against it, and is that it's a smaller game. I think it, you know, like a lot of people were complaining that they spent $70 for a game they beat in 18 hours. So do you feel like that's, I know you mentioned like going up in price. Do you feel like there's a little bit of like a stanky feeling there with like that being $100?
I mean, I don't exactly know for sure how much minimum wage was back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just now in New York City, minimum wage is 15 or 16 an hour.
Okay.
So, you know, for the average minimum wage, I guess it would be a lot of money. But then, you know, I mean, like, I don't buy every game that comes out. I'm not really picky, but like, I play what I want to play. So some years I might buy a lot. Some years I might not buy a lot. It just depends on what it is. Or I'll wait for a sale. But I mean, if we look at what was, you know, the cost from 1990 till now, the increase, what would it really be? So I don't think it's too much to ask if some games are maybe 80 or 100. I get it might be a little bit steep, but like I just saw Dune 2 in IMAX.
I did
and it
too.
Was $60.
I did not pay $60.
It was $60 because I guess that's where I'm in New York City. I saw it on IMAX. I got two tickets and it was $25.50 each. And with taxes, it was just near $60.
Okay.
I remember just 10 years ago going to the movie there and it was $30. I mean, it is what it is. People still go to the movies. They might not go to every movie, but they still pay the prices to go.
Well, so, Bobby, I think that's the thing. Like the movie industry is struggling right now. Dune 2 is not, you bring that up as an example, but Dune 2 was an outlier right now. Like the box office it's been a very heavy against the box office type of year. Like when when you mention like Dune 2, that's like an outlier because every other movie this year has been a financial failure right now. Like, so it's almost like, even like last year, when you look at like the landscape of superhero movies, The Flash bombed because, you know, the industry itself has been struggling and maybe superhero fatigue. You could blame, you know, that on that. The Flash
bombed. And it was a terrible movie.
Yeah, it was a terrible movie. Aquaman bombed, you know, like that bombed as well. Then you have like, you can go down the list. Blue Beetle bombed. It's like the movies that didn't bomb basically last year were Barbie, Oppenheimer, and what was the other one? And Mario. Like those three were the super They're successful really movies, but every other movie seemed like it very much struggled to not only get its money back, but also like to make a profit. So I get where you're coming from. I do understand that that's another form of entertainment that, you know, like inflation costs that much, but they're struggling with budget issues right now.
Oh yeah. And that's, I work in the hotel industry.
Oh yeah.
And what they're projecting and what we're making is not even close.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I'm sure there'll be hotel layoffs soon if we don't have a really good summer, especially in New York City. But, you know, that depends on a lot of different things. Why people don't come to New York City, but you know, some hotel rooms going for like $800 a night. It's not happening no more. So there's definitely going to be some kind of layoffs, or they're going to have to pull back on their projected budgets for the year, or else no one's going to be successful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but a lot of people are picking and choosing what they want to eat or go watch or buy. And I think it's inflation's everywhere.
Yeah, I hear you. What's the reset? I think like for the common man though, like to have a game be like, let's say the game's budget goes down. So like with the game's budget going down, odds are it's not just graphics. The size of the game might go down. So like, let's say everyone's paying that much money for $100 in a game, for a PlayStation game, for let's say Ghost of Tsushima 2, and then like the campaign of that game is 13 hours long. Would you feel cheated?
Well, Contra is $50. That's a 20-minute game.
Yeah, that's also like a different time. A different
I know, I'm just saying time, it's you know? A different time, bro. Times are changing. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You can't expect to pay $40 for a game of that like magnitude or the art style, the direction, you know, the voice actors. Like, it feels very much like a movie, some of the cutscenes.
Okay.
And you're not going to get that for $20 unless it's going to be a sale years down the road. So, I mean,
I don't think
the value
20, but you know,
like, well, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, what do you expect to purchase it at? Unless they're going to start scaling down single player games, because you have to make some kind of money, or else if no one's making money, then we're going to bomb and then there'll be no video games coming out.
Yeah, I think
it's weird. It's a weird thing.
I think what a lot of people are you know, going to have a problem with is like the scale versus cost equation there. And then also like, what does it mean to get your bang for your buck? I'm like, because at this time, like this generation has already had the price increase up to 70, which is a lot of money for a lot of people. But so then like, going from 70 to 100, though, and then also losing out on 30% of what you've been accustomed to at that $70 price point is going to be a big pill for a lot of people to swallow.
No, it is. And I'm not saying that it should be 100 bucks, but I mean, there has to be some kind of something has to happen with some kind of increase, sure. Whether it's just, you know, maybe 80 or something like that, maybe a little bit more to catch up on some budgets. Because if it can't sustain itself, then what's going to happen? Eventually, these games will be knocked even further down on hours played.
Yeah, I think that's a part of the reason why a lot of studios right now, I sent you an article, we talked about this over the weekend, are like heavily focused towards the live service movement. It's like, it's really because of twofolds. It's like when one live service game, they can make, it's reported that if you hit with live service, you can make $1 billion. When if you hit with like a regular single player game, you can make your money back and then get maybe like $200-300 million on top of that. Like, it's stupid amount how much like live service games make, but then it's also like, live service games all around us are failing left and right. And, you know, because of that, a lot of people get laid off in studios. Like when you look at games like Knockout City, that was a game that like a game that came and went and also bombed, and the studio had drastic repercussions because of it. So
I haven't heard of the game.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? That's crazy.
Knockout City. But then another good example is Ubisoft with Skull and Bones. Do you know, you heard of that one?
I heard of that, yeah.
Okay, so Skull and Bones.
I feel like it took 20 years to make.
It did. It is notorious for like how long the I guess you say development cycle it was for that game. And then they're not going to make their money back for that. Like there's no way for a AAA budget, there's no way that you make your money back for working on a game for, I'm going to be generous and say 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to make their money back for it. And they're also struggling financially, like to get a player base. If you don't get a player base, you're struggling with microtransactions and then you're going to be dead on the water. So,
oh yeah.
So the Suicide Squad's having that same problem. Did you play the Suicide Squad?
No. Okay. I mean, it looked kind of weird. It just wasn't for me.
I think a lot of people had that. Yeah. That
thought. So me and my brother talked about it because we did Gotham Knights.
Mm-hmm.
Gotham Knights wasn't really that good either. And then I'm like, this just looks even worse. You know, like even Marvel, I played Marvel Avengers with him and that was just not fun at all. Like, I don't get what they were trying to do there, but whatever they tried to do failed. At least to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, some people like it and that's, you know, it's cool. But for me, I was just like, eh, no.
Well, no, the player count is reflecting that. You know, it's saying right now that this was coming from, I think, gameindustry.biz. Shout out to the good hardworking people there, but like that the player count has dropped to an all-time low, that it's struggling to even keep up more than 10,000 players at this point in time concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, for a live service game, that's terrible. That is absolutely terrible. Meanwhile, Helldivers 2 has broken records in maintaining its player count. But that's an example of what we were talking about, of like the live service train is a double-edged sword. If you can get that, if you can get that bubble right there with Helldivers 2, it's selling like gangbusters. And I believe you bought it. It's like 30 or 40 bucks, right?
Well, I got the special edition for 60.
Okay.
Like immediately, I just knew I wanted to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, to me, Helldivers had a high expectation, kind of like For Honor did when I first got For Honor. Like, I loved For Honor. I played For Honor. Every day I had.
That was another live service game.
Yeah. It was me, my stepfather, my boy Marlon. His son was on it. My brother played it. My friend Charlie played it. So we had like squad. My nephew played it with me. So every time we played, there was always somebody on it. And it was just the four of us having a good time with it. You know what I mean? So, I don't think that every game should be a live service unless there's an actual really good plan that they want or an interesting concept. Like for me, the whole Knight Samurai Viking thing is like, I don't know, I love all that kind of stuff. So to have them fight each other and the way they had the combat system and the way they laid it out, like there's different modes. So we had a good time with it. You could also not play with P versus P, like player versus player. Mm-hmm. You could do player versus AI and you could spike up the difficulty to practice. So like there's different modes. We had a lot of fun with that game. But then I got the platinum and it was like, all right, done. Helldivers 2, same thing. I saw some trailers. I knew a couple of friends right away. I bought it. I'm playing it now. I think it's excellent. I just think it works.
Is that your game of the year so far?
No, I wouldn't say that, but definitely a lot of fun.
What is your game of the year then?
Co-op. Right now? Mm-hmm. Oh, bro. I don't even know yet. I have. Mm-hmm. I didn't play that many yet. So hopefully on my 10 weeks, we'll have some game of the year contenders. I mean, I would say it's up there. I mean, I would give it very high praise. I wouldn't say like, 10 out of 10 or 8 out of 8. I would give it like, I think it's excellent. I just had it for now, what I'm doing, it's fun.
Okay. You know? I mean, if you haven't played any games, it's about default at that point, right?
Yeah, I mean, right now, yeah, I guess I'm having a lot of fun with it. Me and my boy Marlon are playing his son. So I know my brother might get it. So, we'll have more fun with that. I just think their plan worked. I also didn't know that it was only for PlayStation and PC. I didn't know that it was no Xbox players.
Well, it's
Sony made game. It's, right, or developed or something like that. Published?
No, it's published. It's not. Yeah. It's not made by Sony. They're like the Helldivers team isn't a first party Sony studio.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a PlayStation endorsed game. Is more apropos than saying it's a PlayStation made game like God of War, Spider Man, and all that. So, but yeah, it is. It is a. I guess you could call it a second party PlayStation game.
Like I love PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it's my favorite system, obviously. Yeah. But I feel for a game like this, if they're making so much more record breaking money, I mean, you can break the bank even further if you had Xbox on it. Because can you imagine Xbox players making a deal and you have some like Master Chief suits? I mean, forget about it. It would be outrageous. And then whatever money you're worried about, you don't have to be now.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
I think that, this is an interesting dichotomy and scenario here because like, and this is the reason why I think we were going back and forth in our chat when we were thinking of ideas for this episode. It's like, you have a mind because you've experienced these worlds where that kind of thought process, like you're thinking very similar to what the execs are thinking of like, hey, this is how you correctly do a live service game. Mm-hmm. And this is why, like, this is what makes these live service games special. And this is like also how we can get more money for these live services. And that's like I think that kind of thinking right there mixed in with the double-edged sword that is like if we keep getting live service games, it sort of shrinks the industry a little bit because like a studio can only work on so many games.
And yeah,
so like for for example, the Rocksteady. Rocksteady is a big studio, but like, oof, you know, like we had a long period after Arkham Knights to where they were just focused on Suicide Squad, because you have, for a live service game, you have to make up, there's so many different things you have to develop for, not just the game itself, but like the roadmap and yeah, all, and everything that comes after in the microtransactions. Like the thing you just mentioned with the Halo suit and such like that, that instead of a team working on a smaller game, there are teams dedicated to just making cosmetics and such like that. So it's like one of those things to where, like, if you get a live service game, that takes that studio out of the single player space completely.
That's true, yeah.
So and I think that's what a lot of the controversy was with the Arkham universe, especially like with Rocksteady. It's like Rocksteady, it was a single player studio for the last generation.
Yeah,
big they time. Oh, for sure. And you can make the art, like some people would probably make the argument that they made some of the best game, single player games of that 360 and Xbox One generation, and that PS3 PS4 generation with the Batman trilogy, yeah, right? So to see that studio then go make a live service game, that which also like means the game comes out, but they also have to maintain that game and also make additional content for that game because it's a live service game, which means that 8-year span that they were working on the game, you could add another like 5 years on top of that unless the game gets like axed going forward.
Yeah.
So that studio is no longer a single player studio.
And see, like, I don't understand why they had to go that route. Like, me and my brother were playing Gotham Knights, right? And you could see, like, it didn't feel like anything like Helldivers or For Honor at all, right? It just seemed like they started off single player. Maybe they wanted to do a co-op kind of thing to it. And then it went to live service. Because, like, what are you live servicing in Gotham Knights? I don't get it. Like who are you constantly going to fight? Like, yeah, like, there's some, like, street activity and you got to take down some enemies that are robbing a bank or something like that. But, like, that's not enough to keep the game going.
Well,
I just didn't get it.
Before the game flopped, I think there was it was rumored that they had like additional villains and additional scenarios that were made for that they had a live service roadmap, and they also had, you know, like before everyone made a fuss about it, like, I don't know if you remember, but originally every suit was supposed to be like a cosmetic that you had to purchase. Everyone made a stink about it, and then they made like, oh, we'll make it unlockable instead of you having to purchase it. So they were completely like on going forward. That was supposed to be like a super live service game. Just like you mentioned with Helldivers with the Master Chief suit. That's the way Gotham Knights was supposed to be. But then they changed all that because like, and they still kept a lot of live service elements into it, because if you remember correctly, they have like different, and they have that, like, I guess you say that that red armor or that red little like thing that you have to build up, the blue things you have to build up, the green, and so on and so forth. Like, that was supposed to be like, oh, you want to buy like a 10 pack of those red things, fish out $5.
$5. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. To me, I didn't feel it being live. I mean, the game wasn't all that good. I wouldn't say it was terrible, but it was just, I guess, mediocre. And it was fun playing with my brother. I think if I had the experience of playing that solo, I would not have been very happy with it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's I think that's what live service is, though. It's like, live service isn't necessarily about the quality of a game. It's like, what is the makeup and how much, how are they trying to do microtransactions, and is it a long always online game? Like, is it going, like when Marvel's Avengers, there was supposed to be like additional, almost like content, like season drops, just like Diablo. So like what Diablo is what Marvel Avengers wanted to be, what Gotham Knights wanted to be. They just they couldn't go fully into it because like everyone made a fuss about it. No one made a fuss about like Diablo at that point in time because like, I don't know, there's a whole lot of elements that involve that because like we haven't gotten to Diablo in a long time. And it's also like it was almost live service for a long time to begin with. So it's like, yeah.
Like with Diablo, mm-hmm. there's the actual story, and then there's the dungeons. And the dungeons is, you know, you keep getting better and better armor, or you keep trying to find better and better armor to increase your character to keep going. But I feel like they had enough where it was fun. Because even if my stepfather wasn't playing and I had like an hour or so, I'd bust out an hour by myself, try to get better so we can be better to keep going and try to kill Lilith, which just took me forever. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I got the platinum, probably one of the hardest games I ever played. And I have no intention of going back. Like, to me, it's just done, right? So whatever season 3, 4, 5 ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
But I did see what they were trying to do, and at least it was somewhat fresh. So if you're new to Diablo 4, you have actually, you know, the main game, which everyone can play, and then the season keeps it, I guess, adds a new freshness to it. So I can see how that can keep going, especially if you're a Diablo fan. But I don't see, like, they did a really bad job with Arkham Knights. And Suicide Squad, I heard, is even worse.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Here's the thing. It's like, what you're describing, you're not the target audience, because the target audience for live service games are people who stay in the ecosystem and continuously make microtransactions over and over again. But you are, like, a... almost like you are a consumer who basically loves the like a high quality live service mm-hmm. game, and then you dip in, get your platinum, and get out. You know, like so it's like you're a live service gamer, but you're not like the peak of what they want in a live service gamer. Does that make sense?
100%. Like, yeah, I know there are people who still play Fortnite. I mean, that's free to play, sure. First of all. But there are so many things you could do in Fortnite that I don't even know what Fortnite's about. But that's probably one of the most popular that I can imagine, like, live service games are.
So,
and aren't most sports games, like, obviously similar live service almost?
All sports games right now are live service games, except for, like, sports sim. Like, say, if you were playing, like,
Football Manager. Yeah.
I don't think it has some microtransactions.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, anything that has the ultimate team, that mode is a microtransaction mode, so it makes it a live service game.
And I think it was NHL 22, remember my brother brought, we played it, we played it online together and did everything, but then we tried playing online with friends, like, you know, versus other people. You know, it was fun because it's a sports game, but, like, you know, I feel like, damn, you have to buy these packs to get other stuff, and I'm kind of like, it wasn't for me, so we just kept playing, like, you know, the me versus him or us versus a season of NHL, you know, whatever. Similar to FIFA, I don't really play online with like too many people, just a couple friends. But like I'm in and out of that game. Like I will never purchase a football pack to open. Yeah. I can care less. But that's, you know, again, not the average like consumer. But I would definitely get it if I wanted.
You're a half in live service person to where like you're a consumer, but you're not you're not buying into the microtransactions. Yeah. It's like, have you noticed with every one of those games you listed, you have to always be online for those
always.
To play those. Like you
even
have,
for Honor,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the service, you always have to be online because like that's the way a live service works. Like a live service game is continuously online.
They did always, something similar to, not to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
What is it? The Lord of the Rings, the second one. What was that? It was a Shadow of Mordor. The other one?
No, Shadow of War.
Maybe that was it. Yeah, I forgot the name of the second, but it was very similar because I remember Shadow of Mordor,
right?
You can purchase things online.
Yes,
right. And then the good thing of, I mean, the what I thought that game was interesting was like the whole Nemesis system,
mm-hmm.
which they they trademarked and they haven't used it since.
No, they haven't used this since.
I mean, that is just so dumb because I felt like that was a fresh idea where you can keep conquering and conquering and other enemies would conquer more. And then you have to get, you know, like better and better or how you're going to plan out your attack. So there was some kind of thought process in there. I just didn't think it really fit with like Lord of the Rings.
Right now it's saying that like the Nemesis system is going to be a part of, and this is rumored. I don't think they confirmed this, but like all the news reports are saying like that system is going to be in the new Wonder Woman game that they're developing. Mm. But I brought up in our chats news about WB, and this is sort of getting to the main topic of the show here. We've kind of been just, you know, talking a little bit about like the state of video games and, you know, like what live service games are doing and that sort of thing. But like, I think there is a worry in a lot of the game community that if you get live service games that are successful, or like all these studios are pursuing the live service, well, is single player being marginalized? And also, like, does it feel like the way of the dodo bird? Does it feel like a single player game that is directly not microtransactional, but just a traditional single player action adventure or single player shooter, yada, yada, yada? Does that feel like it is going extinct because of the landscape of gaming right now?
I mean, I hope not.
I do too.
I still think single player is like why we all play games growing up to begin with. Unless you're like, you know, 10 and all you play was Call of Duty your whole life. I mean, single player experience has been like top key for, you know, every console and system and generation. I really hope they don't go. But I understand there's lots of that money that goes into it. But I feel if a studio has a really good roadmap for a live service game that's interesting, and they can use that money to support other games in their catalog, mm-hmm. right? Then it'll be done correctly. But, you know, most people are greedy and they want the bottom line and they want the quickest bang for their buck and they want the money now. So not all live service games are going to be successful. And then you're going to wind up wasting more money because now the studio has to close or you have to cut servers. And then you wasted, you know, X amount of money for a game that no one's playing. I think that'll be the downfall of video games, I think.
Yeah. I think that is that's what's happening now. And this is why I bring up this question, is because like PlayStation had all these mass layoffs. And then like, I don't know if you read the news like over the last couple of weeks, but like the Twisted Metal game got canceled. And then, you know, it's rumored that they had some other games that they were working on that, you know, got the axe and such like that. They pivoted to wanting to do like, I think it was like 60% of their upcoming games in live service. And now they're trying to figure out what the new landscape is going to be. Sean Layden had the retirement after that point. So it's in flux of what PlayStation is right now and what the direction of PlayStation is going to be. And the reason why I think this is important is because like, everyone, WB had the big announcement, especially because like they were talking to some their financial backers at a big banking event this past week, where where the CEO of WB Games just basically came out and said, "Hey, we don't want to put out single player games. Really, we're chasing all of our games. We're trying to figure out how we can basically make every game coming out a live service. Like, we want the next Hogwarts Legacy to be a living, breathing ecosystem to where it'll be a constant live service game." And we see that I sent you an article, Game Biz Industry reported that they're also like almost 95% of studios are either working on or maintaining a live service game right now.
Yeah, that's wild.
So that means, and with that scenario I told you about with Rocksteady, where they couldn't make a game for 8 years because mm-hmm. they were working on a live service game. And then now they're held hostage and have to maintain a live service game. A whole studio, which is a studio renowned for doing masterful single player games, is doing that.
But it cost them big, obviously, now. It was a huge gamble and it failed.
Yeah, for sure.
So what's going to happen to Rocksteady Studios if they keep it up? Who's making a one-woman game?
The Monolith, I think, is the same people who made The Arkham, not the Arkham games,
the Lord of the Rings, people,
Lord of the Rings games we talked about. Yeah, but they're making that.
That's so wild.
But they're all subsidiaries of WB Games, so that means like if WB Games keeps true to what they were saying, all those are going to be live service games, which is like, you know, for you, like for you, you are a single player gamer, but you're also like, hey, if it's good in the live service and they have a good roadmap, you're fine with that. Like, there's a lot of people like myself that don't want to play any live service games. You know what I mean?
It's yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's almost like a principle thing. It's it mixed in with like, I admire games that don't touch the live service like bubble at all. And it's like, I'm a hermit. I don't also play games with friends like very often. Like, I don't think I played a multiplayer game in 2 years at this point. It's like,
oh wow.
I don't have the urge, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm reviewing and I'm playing single player games like constantly. And I like that life. And my socialization is like, I don't necessarily play games with others to socialize. So it's like, I want to experience stories. I want to experience narratives. I want to experience like unique gameplay concepts. And oftentimes in live service, you don't get unique gameplay. You get traditional gameplay elements that are turned around and like annualized, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, it's like with Firm Software, you got a masterpiece in Elden Ring. But can you imagine if instead of Elden Ring, they did a live service Dark Souls? You wouldn't have never gotten Elden Ring.
Probably not.
No. So I'm like,
I don't think it would have. I don't know how that would work. Like if they tried that, like
that's what Lords of the Fallen is doing now.
Like it's that like, would be a fail. Yeah. Like Lords of the, it's weird because Lords of the Fallen, like you can't really purchase anything, right? There's nothing purchable. Like you can't purchase anything from a menu or get better armor. You can't. Like your friend can drop in and drop out as they please. As long as you go to like I what they call them, like a relic or something, you can, you know, you can either invade somebody similar to the Souls games, or you can from the spot there invite a friend and you can just play until he leaves or whatever. And they stay with you. Like usually in the Souls game, when you beat a boss, they go back to their world. Here you beat a boss, you stay. So I mean, I don't know how that or what or how it's a live service. It's weird. It's weird to me because I don't see the
connection for the live service genre. I get what you mean. It's like
yeah, it's just it's a weird one. You know, like yeah, Diablo, I go to the store, buy some cool armor for like $5 if I wanted to. I get it.
I think that's part of the news coming out. It's like that's what they're trying to update Lords of the Fallen to be. It's like it's already always online. You can't play that game without being online. And then like you add in that they're it was been reported that they're thinking of adding the microtransactions for like gear and cosmetics. And
yeah, then see, it's weird. Also, it's just weird.
Yeah. And then there's also like a roadmap that feels like, oh, we have a seasonal roadmap coming up. And that is when you hear a seasonal roadmap, that's a live service. That's a live service.
Like I saw the roadmap. Uh-huh. And it just seemed to me like they were going to add different bosses, different areas. All right, like that's not so bad because that's like DLC kind of what they're trying to do in a seasonal aspect. So like it's a weird one. Like Diablo, definitely they based everything off the seasons. They advertise the seasons. Every time you season I'm coming, they tell you like every single time on here. You don't really see that on, at least from last time I played it, on the main menu. But they do show it like, you know, in like if they're saying an upcoming season, like in a pause screen. So just it's just there. But there's no like in your face by this kind of thing. And I think the first season is free for everybody.
Yes.
And then if they do a second season, they want to add different areas of the game, different bosses, which I guess keeps the game going.
That's live service, man.
Which is not a bad idea from how they're doing it. But like now, if you still want to pay $20 for every season, then you're definitely on something because that ain't going to happen.
No, for sure. For sure. But I mean, that's what sports games are like for. Mm-hmm. Like if you like were logging into NBA 2K, they have like this is the season of Kevin Durant. But like then you can go in and like go in and basically like unlock cards that deal with like that season and such like that. But like that and that are like pay for cards that deal with that season. But like. That's but the season itself is free.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, that's where everyone is like, oh, you're saying you're not a live service, but like if a duck quacks, it's a duck, right? You know?
Yeah.
If it quacks like a duck, you know, it's a duck, that sort of thing. It's like, that's where like, no one wants to be associated as a live service because the stigma of being a live service, but everyone kind of wants to, hey, we're flirting with being a live service. We just don't want to call ourselves that. You get what I mean?
Yeah, which is kind of weird to me because, like I said, if you have a strong idea and it's a unique concept and you want to keep it going, you know, the casual gamer might just play it, beat it with some friends and move on. And then the people who really like it will stay on it. Like, think about like Call of Duty players. I mean, they play every Call of Duty that drops, they're buying it, they're playing it.
Yeah, for sure.
They run out, they'll prestige 100 times. That's just their thing. Like, how many times would you play Demon's Souls to prestige it? Like, what is, like, yeah, it gets harder and harder and harder, but like, eventually that model to me is not gonna last.
You don't think the Demon's Souls model is gonna last?
No, like if they try to make like a live service out of that.
Oh, okay.
Like what is the point now? You know what I mean? Unless you're adding different maps with a story, like it's just not like when they drop some DLC for Dark Souls or Dark Souls 2, whatever, they had like DLC or even Bloodborne had DLC. It was interesting. It's a whole new realm, concepts, but it's a DLC. It's over. Like,
certain
games should not be live service. Certain games should be. But I think to be successful, you need a really unique idea and a really strong roadmap to go for it. And if live service games is the new trend, it's, I don't know, it might be what, everything's live service. The casual gamer is going to start looking for games from back in the day to start playing.
You know, it's the opposite. I think it's like, you know, I think you make a good point, by the way. But like, I think the casual gamer doesn't know what a live service game is. I think the casual gamer, it's like the casual gamer just sees a brand or sees what's hot at the moment and says like, oh, all my friends are playing Helldivers, I'm gonna play Helldivers 2. They don't know Helldivers 2 is a live service game. You get what I mean?
Yeah, like, well, to be honest with you, I didn't know it was a live service game either.
Yeah, so it's like, that's a term that is like for the hardest of hardcore that also like follow like a lot of news and shit. Like that is you know, like a lot of people, Call of Duty and such like that, they know it's a live service game. They know Fortnite's a live service game. Diablo, they don't necessarily know that's a live service game. They just know it's a Diablo game, and they, you know, they don't care if it's a live service or not, as long as they get to play with their friends, and they might occasionally drop like $14 on a horse, you know.
Yeah, for real. Like Fallout 76.
Yeah, like they just live know service. That's a Fallout game, but it's a lot like a hardest of hardcore. No, that's their live service. Mm-hmm. That's not like a direct sequel to Fallout 4 but like, yeah, and it's a weird thing. Like live service for what a lot of people like myself, and I'll admit I'm one of these people. Like I'm like one of those, it's live service. Like, the reason why game studios don't want to come out and say, hey, we're doing a live service game, or like, hey, this is our live service push, is because like there are people like me that look at live service and go, no, that's not it. Like they rebel against it just because it's live service. And, you know, like I'll admit it's a weird prejudice to have, but like it is. But like there's a hardcore fan base out there that's like, no, we're not doing live service like at all. And I think that's where like that's why games like Knockout City didn't meet its market. That's why like games like Skull and Bones and also Suicide Squad didn't meet its market, because Suicide Squad, you know, like I think everyone would have played another Batman Arkham game. Like a lot of people would have, but like, imagine if they said, hey, we're doing Batman, but we're doing a live service game. A lot of us would have been pissed. I'm talking about like livid.
Yeah.
But so a studio wants like for WB and PlayStation to come out and just say like, hey, we want to do a live service push. And, like there's a huge rebellion against that. You know, like Hogwarts Legacy was the biggest and highest selling game of last year. And that's an accomplishment, because Call of Duty's held that record for like 10 years. So, yeah. And then WB comes back and says, hey, we're not focused on Hogwarts Legacy 2. We're focused on what we can do with that IP now that we know we've gotten $1 billion out of it. Now let's see how we can make that as a live service game, to where, like, instead of it being a single focus campaign, we can make, let's make Hogwarts the game, where like everything, like people, you'll pay to get new seasonal drops. You can play with your friends. It's always online. It's a live service at that point, mm-hmm. you know?
I mean, yeah. I guess it's the game that's going to dictate whether they're going to keep doing this or not, because they keep doing live service. People aren't paying for it. Or if people are paying for it and not staying with it, they're going to lose money.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to stop if we don't purchase them enough.
But here's the thing, Bob. It's like, I don't think the, like, the everyday gamer doesn't know, like, they're not rebelling against this. This is why Call of Duty is like one of the leading franchises every year. Everyone's just going to buy Call of Duty because it's comfort food right there. Like, that's what they want to play. There's not a whole lot of alternatives. And they're like, I don't care if this is going to marginalize single player games. They don't know it will. They're just going to buy the next Call of Duty. Like, that's
true. Yeah. No matter what, they're going to buy it.
Yeah, for sure. Like
the sport heads, they're going to buy every Madden that comes out no matter what.
Exactly. It's like they're going to buy that. It's like, with Helldivers 2, which is like, I'm not trying to disrespect anyone who enjoying that game. Have your fun and eat it too. But like, you purchase that game and it's a success and it's doing live service really well. Like, it's a really good example of what a live service game should be. But by playing that game and purchasing that game, you're letting PlayStation know, like, hey, there's like gold in those heels. Like, if we want to, we can do live service and, you know, the market's going to be there. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So instead of Horizon 3, they might say, oh, why don't we just make Horizon the World, like Horizon the Forbidden World? And that is a live service game. It's always on. And then we might make a single player campaign in that world, just like Marvel's Avengers. You get what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But then after the single campaign, which is like 5 hours, 4 hours.
Yeah, they're not online. Focused on that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an always online experience. But like, that's what single player gamers, that's what hardcore single player gamers are afraid of right now. That's the big fear of like, and if Guerrilla works on that, are they going to have the bandwidth to actually work on a single player campaign? Rocksteady showed that they didn't have the bandwidth to work on multiple things. Like, the only example I can think of that has had the ability to work on multiple things at the same time is like maybe Grand Theft Auto, but they roll that into like GTA Online and GTA 5. And then, but it's still one big game, but that's really two games mixed in one, right?
100%. There's definitely two games.
Yeah. So I think that's what a lot, like, not a lot of studios have shown the ability to be able to juggle multiple games like that. So I think that's the worry here. It's like, what do you do if you're alive? What do you do if you're a single player gamer and a single player fan and you're a fan of these big games and you hear like that, oh, everyone wants to chase that big golden rainbow that is live service. And that means, hey, also, with all these layoffs, there's not a whole lot of people working on games anymore in general. What does that mean for my games that I like that aren't live service, that I don't have to always be online for? You know what I mean?
I mean, if that's the trend and all these major studios are going to start doing this, then a lot of people are going to have to become playing indie gamers, bro. But that's all that's going to be left.
Yeah. Yeah.
An indie developer cannot possibly do live service. I mean, I don't think they can. I'm sure it's loads and loads of money that they don't have to keep these servers online.
You know, like, you know, the crazy thing is like, Helldivers 2 was done by an indie studio. It's like, but they were
really
they were funneled money by PlayStation to do that game. That's They're wild. Independent studio though. Like, think about it like this: Palworld, one of the biggest games before Helldivers 2, one of the biggest games in the world.
What game is this?
PAL World. You remember this one?
What is that?
Oh, you're not like, okay. So you probably haven't paid attention because you're not on the Xbox ecosystem, but like PAL World was on PC. It was the game that was sort of like Pokemon, where like instead of raising Pokemon to battle one another, you also raised them to be your servants and such as that. So it was Pokemon, and then like as you kind of like evolve, or as you kind of like grow skills, it's a survival game to where like you can give these pals, not Pokemon, but pals, guns. And these guns, and then they'll start shooting one another, and like
that's crazy.
And they'll start shooting people, and like you can make them working like camps and start building up like your fortress and forts and such like that. It's a game that a lot of like Helldivers and PAL World are the number one, number two most played games this year. And it's not even close.
Oh wow,
not even close. Like
that's crazy.
Like, man, the people are still playing PAL World like crazy. And that was technically an indie studio, man. It's like, you know, they are on top of the world right now because of like how successful this game has been. And right now it's only like Xbox. It's an Xbox exclusive, but it wasn't intended to be. It's not a first party Xbox game, you know? Yeah, so it's not like Xbox. It's not like Xbox made this or like even endorsed this. It was just like, hey,
here it is.
Yeah, it was like, hey, this fell into our lap, like because we made a deal with the indie studio to put this on Game Pass. You know what I mean?
That's incredible, then.
Yeah, so I'm like, and it became a wild success. People are, because there's been a hunger for a long time for a growth in Pokemon, for a maturity in Pokemon.
Like, yeah.
So imagine if you combine Pokemon with Animal Crossing with a survival game like Ark or Valheim. You remember Valheim?
Yeah.
If you combine those like elements together, and then you get people in, and it's just cute enough that people who wanted to play Pokemon got something that scratches that Pokemon itch. The people who love Animal Crossing got something that scratches that Animal Crossing itch. And then the people who want to play grown-up stuff, it's got guns, man. You're capping little monsters in the head and going about your business, you know?
I mean, it definitely sounds unique. See, like, that's a unique experience, I guess.
Yeah, so.
And it's live service.
And it's a live service game.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, so.
I mean, so according to the trends, then, there's no slowing down.
No, it's like if you're an indie studio and you look at the success of Helldivers and PAL World, and you think of yourself to like, I can make a single player game, and Bobby and Sebastian might play my game, or they are, but odds are Joe down the street is not gonna know what my game even came out. He's not even gonna know anything about my game. I can maybe make a live service game, and I can maybe make $800 in 3 days like PAL World did. And you, like, that's the scary thing, man. The people are making money off of live service, like hand over fist. Like you can be a game that not many people are playing, but like if you have microtransactions and like someone paid $3 for your goat, and they had enough people pay for goats and such like that, that is
bank, straight bank.
Yeah, it's straight bank. And you, like, you worked on that game for like a small amount of time, and you just pushed it out as microtransactions. You have a loyal fan base. You can have a loyal fan base of 3,000, but if all those people, 3,000 people, buy like stupid goats for $3, you know.
So like The Sims too.
Yeah, that's exactly how The Sims is now. That's exactly how The Sims are now.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
But
now that you think about it, man, oh my God, bro, there's Mad Men service games, service games.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing is, like, not everyone knows the term live service, you know? But, like, once you open your eyes to what a live service game is, you're like, these things are everywhere. These things are, like, it's a part of gaming in a way that it's almost like an infection. You'd have to cut off the head, and it's impossible to cut off the head without 9 more growing at this point, you know?
Yeah, no, that's Very interesting, because I did not know it was like this, actually.
No, think about it like this. And this is a kind of like a weird but cool thing about like how all this is like come about. It's like PlayStation like closed down a studio this past week. You heard about that?
No.
Okay, so one of their studios that were famous for making like VR games, done. So just it got axed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mixture of a whole bunch of things, like the economic situation that we're in. Like, people are gearing up for a huge recession. There is also like the tech industry is laying off people like crazy. And then you also have like VR is not doing well. It's just not. It's like,
no, it's not.
They took a gamble. No one's buying VR.
I mean, I never thought that was going to be the future of anything. I just thought it was a big, huge gimmick that had its like, it's time, 50 minutes of fame, and that's over now.
Do you think George will admit like he made a mistake with VR, like buying the PSVR 2?
I mean, he definitely made a mistake. Will he admit to it? I doubt it. But
I want to see if he admits to it.
I mean, but this is also a man who plays Red Dead Redemption 2 on Switch,
the worst game console.
So I mean, you know, that's George. That's our boss.
Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe that should be the title of this. Will George admit he made a mistake? And I think that should be the title of this episode.
Because, yeah. Like, my friend had the new PS, what is it called? Portable something?
Oh, the PlayStation Portable. Like, yeah. the thing. It is the Portal. Portal.
Portal, right?
Yeah, the PlayStation
Portal. I'm like, this is so stupid, because why would you only play this in your house?
That's more useful than the VR.
But true, and I didn't realize you could play with it over just any Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah, you can be at a hotel playing.
Yeah, so I didn't know that. So he brought it to show me at work. Now, my office, for some reason, like the basement area where the engineering office is at, has the best Wi-Fi probably in the world, because you're running things on a Wi-Fi that's faster than just a plug-in, like, you know, Ethernet cable. So he brought it over to show me, and he put his PlayStation on. He put in like Mortal Kombat just to play to show me, and like, bro, X responded like I was home.
Yeah.
Ducked down, I jumped. I mean, it's, and the screen is clear. It's beautiful. Like, I was knocking it at first. Now that I played it, I'm like, okay, I could see where this came in handy, you know? Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, if you're gonna go this route, then I'm like, I still think
just make another PSP at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's there, bro. I mean, obviously people want it because it's out there. Like, you have the what's the one? The Steam Deck.
Yeah,
I'm like, what you could do with a Steam Deck to me? Because he has one and he brought it in there. And he went from PC games to his downloaded games, and he put up the gamepad. I'm like, oh my God. This thing is amazing.
When I tell you, like, the Steam Deck has changed my life. Like,
no, it's wild. It's wild. I mean, to be honest with you, like, and then you can dock it. I'm like, you can dock this bad boy?
Oh, anything a Switch can do, you can do
that
on a Steam Deck.
That is crazy. So I'm like, why would you pay money for a Switch 2?
You can play your Xbox games on that. You can play your PlayStation games on that Steam Deck. And like, no, I'm talking about like, you can remote stream into your Xbox, into your PlayStation to play those games. You can play all your PC games. And PC games, by the way, everybody are dirt cheap.
Yeah, they
are. PC goes on sale the time.
PC Master Race, bro. Because honestly, like, you could do anything with a PC games that are been 20 years old. Have mods to them that keep it fresh, which is to me outrageously wild, but I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then on top of that, like, my goodness, like, you can hack that thing, or you can like play retro games on that bad boy.
He has a whole little retro pie action, pull up Nintendo. I'm like, oh, I had the same thing too, but on a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
Basically, he had everything on the
go. Right there in the palm of his hand on the go.
Boom, docked with two controllers. You don't have to, it's just amazing to me that's amazing. I could see why it's still popular. The handheld's still popular. I don't see how VR was gonna last. I just didn't see. Like, I tried it once. I got very, very nauseous. Didn't like the way it went. Then you have all the other VR. So I tried a couple of them, but I don't know. I just didn't like it. I'm sure, like, people do like it, obviously, but not enough where I don't see them making VR 3.
I think what, I think this is like, I think it's still early for VR. Like, it feels like gaming in general right now is in like generation 7. And then like VR feels like it's still like, even by the looks and the feels of like a lot of the games, feel like it's a PlayStation 1 generation.
Yeah, because apparently you can't wear the VR that long for eye strain or something.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you really can't be like, I mean, you could sit there for hours in front of your TV and watch TV and play video game. Can't do that with a VR. So
you remember the movie Ready Player One?
Yes, I do.
That's what everyone wants VR to be like.
Yeah, and it's never going to get that way.
No time soon. Not anytime soon. No. For sure not. So,
but it, like, I could see it to be popular. I just don't think we are like, okay, think of it this way. Like, Dune, because I just keep talking about Dune. I can't stop talking about it.
I love this, that movie, this, by the way. Dune 2.
Masterpiece,
masterpiece,
oh,
my goodness. The black and white scenes?
Yeah, that was amazing, bro.
Woo!
I thought that was amazing. I mean, to me, it's the greatest sci-fi right now. But like, can you imagine Dune coming out in the 70s? Don't have technology for it. The 80s version of Dune, it is what it is.
It's not great.
It's the 90s. It had to come out now, right? And certain stories have never been told in theaters because they just don't see how they can do it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, now they can do a lot of things with movies. Like what they did with Dune and how they filmed it was tremendous.
Can we segue into that? Because I kind of want to talk about Dune too, man.
We sure can. And I think... Did you
know, like, they have a super small budget for that game, for that movie?
They did, yeah, because he had this whole plan for it. From what I heard, I don't know if it's true, but they never wanted a sequel. But in his own mind, he was making it like they were going to accept a sequel. Mm-hmm. So he wrote it as part one, part two, which is why it never said Dune part one. It just said Dune. Mm-hmm. And you didn't see part one till like at the end of the movie, where it said Dune part one, because then they greenlit his other idea, which was, you know, part two. And again, the way it ended, no spoilers, it could lead up to a part three or whatever else he wants to adapt into the
books. Well, there's 12 of these suckers out there. And then like evidently his son wrote like half of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's six Dune books.
Okay.
And then I think there's, I don't know, three or four that his son
wrote after he died, right?
They're not as popular, but they definitely go with the lore. And, you know, it's very much like, you know, his father's ideas and everything.
And from what I hear, we're getting a show on HBO like later this year.
About the Jenny Bezeret. Yeah, supposedly.
The Bezeret?
And, and it's going to be Bezeret. Dennis. Yeah. Dennis is involved with it heavily on HBO. And that will probably be even less money to make because he's making it as a streaming production. He's not making it as a, like, Dune, he was upset because they made a deal with him because he was very upset that it was going to go to HBO and not and do it at the same time.
Yeah, during the pandemic.
So he was pretty upset because I think a lot of his vision that he wanted to do for the part two was based off money. But HBO said, listen, we'll count views in as well. And I think because the views and the money hit the mark, he was able to make the part two. But he really made part two like IMAX cameras. Like, if you didn't see it in IMAX, you're missing out, according to everybody who saw. I saw it in IMAX.
I saw it in Dolby as well.
Yeah, and I thought it was...
Oh, my goodness. Phenomenal.
Tremendous, bro. I could not stop looking at it.
No. It is... I haven't been this enthused and... you know, like gushing about a movie probably since The Dark Knight. Like it's one of those. Yeah. Cause I'm like, it's not this in the Christopher Nolan flick, but like, it still felt like a grisly, like story that had to be told a certain way. And it felt like a different way of cinema that we rarely see. Like Oppenheimer hit different, but not like this.
Yeah, no, I thought Oppenheimer was phenomenal. I mean, I don't know how long it was. Didn't seem long. It just seemed like the story just kept ticking boxes for you. And it was progressing. And I'm like, oh my God, you want to get to the end, but you also don't want it to end kind of like thing.
Yeah.
That's how I was like, I could sit down right now and watch the whole part one, part two, one go. I wouldn't even bother
me. All 5 hours. Yeah.
100%. But even how he changed some of the book to make the film he had, no, something that had to be made because it's cinema. Even that was even well thought out of. Like, he planned it. He planned everything. And I'm like, why did they get Anna Joy Taylor in that movie for whatever she did? Mm-hmm. There has to be more. There has to be. You're not going to get her just for that. Anybody could have did that. But there was a reason why he did it. So I'm hoping they can.
I mean, Florence Pugh was in this movie for, like, you know, 8 minutes.
I know. It's just crazy what they did. I'll tell you what, the guy, Austin Butler, mm-hmm. played Elvis, and he was even in the Shannara Chronicles I used to watch on MTV.
I actually liked that show.
I thought it was interesting. Yeah, then it went from MTV to TNT or something like that. They changed season two, was a different channel, but I liked them. And I'm like, damn, they didn't finish it, which is kind of annoying. But I'm like, I thought he was phenomenal.
Oh, man.
Like, I did not expect him to hit it like he did. I was like, wow, bro, this guy definitely is a phenomenal actor. The acting was phenomenal.
For sure. Everything. Yeah, man. I can think of one person who overacted or did a bad job because I'm like, everything felt like it had purpose.
Even Christopher Walken.
Oh my goodness, so good.
Wasn't
in
like
this.
Christopher Walken. It was just, how did you get this guy to act?
No, it's so good in this.
It was so good. My God. Everything was amazing, dude.
And I, like, Timothy Chalamet was like, I seen like little bits and pieces of his acting journey, but like,
yeah, dude, he's
Dune. Dune was the one I was like, oh, this guy's got the chops.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely does. And he's super young.
Oh, for sure. Like, I didn't watch Wonka. I'm not a
No, I didn't. Person, I didn't watch that either. But he looked, from what I saw, he looked like he was into it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everything he does, he tries to be into it, which is why I think he was so good at Dune, because he was really involved in this character's arc.
I'm telling you, there's one moment, and I'm not, and like, this isn't going to mean anything to anyone who hasn't seen the movie, so don't worry about the spoilers, people. But like, there's a moment where he stomps his foot, and I'm like, oh, it's so sick. It is so sick.
Like, even the way he was just looking,
mm-hmm.
or his tone was just great.
Yeah.
Like, no, they had a roadmap, bro. This guy had a roadmap, and he's hitting every single mark on that roadmap. I'm hoping that we get to see
Messiah
or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's finish it. I mean, probably we'll finish everything, but let's get to the main whole treaty's arc.
Then
listen, if it's successful and they want to continue, and I will watch them.
I haven't felt this enthused about a sci-fi movie since since The Force Awakens, and even then The Force Awakens didn't hit like this.
No, that was
episode seven was Force Awakens.
I was watching it, and then when I first saw Kylo Ren and he, like, mm-hmm. froze all the laser bullets, I'm like, oh my God, that's powerful.
Yeah.
But then the movie just started to drop and drop and drop. And then I saw the part eight,
mm-hmm.
whatever that was called. I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible.
Yeah, I didn't even
watch nine because I don't care what happens to anybody. I kind of got to the point where Walking Dead, where I just want everybody to die.
Oh, I was the same way in Walking Dead.
Because I was over it. Like, let's just die, please. It's just, do yourself a favor.
When Negan came in Walking Dead, it was over for me. After that, the same show for me.
I didn't mind that arc, but then mm-hmm. like after that, all right, like, we're still doing this.
Yeah. Like, that could have ended season
it.
Was
no, it was just, it I don't like me. It at all.
Yeah. I
don't want the new ones that are out now. Don't care about them.
I haven't even tried. It's been so bad. I haven't even played the games. And the VR game is evidently decent, but I'm not.
No way.
Yeah, but I'm not going to touch VR either. So
no. Yeah, I'm out of that. But yeah, no, I think this is probably going to go down as one of the best sci-fi movies ever to me.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is the movie of the year at this point.
It has to be. I mean, it has to be. I mean, my wife had no interest in it at all. So I made her. We watched the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I want to rewatch the first one. I saw it already like a few times, but I want to watch it again for her.
Yeah.
We're going to go see part two. So I wanted to freshen her mind because I don't want her to lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
She liked it, but she wasn't like
in love with
a big fan of it. But I think she appreciated like the art direction and everything he wanted to do. So she probably will, you know, I mean, she'll probably watch part 3 for me. But people who like this movie, like, if you're into sci-fi, this is it, man.
I'm looking at Dune 2, and I'm like, as far as awards go, I'm like, I don't know what's coming down the pipeline that's going to beat this. And then I'm like, you know, like, the award people are so finicky with movies because, like, they want their snooty, like, Academy Award winning film, like, to be a certain type of film. But Dune nails this. Like,
no, it
Dune,
does.
Dune gives them that type of feeling, and also gives, like, the sci-fi heads what they want. Yeah,
that's why it was so shocking when Lord of the Rings Return of the King won an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Because those movies never win anything because it's just not their movie. They want that long drama, heavy, heavy drama movies that usually win. You know, I mean, I'm not a fan of the Academy Awards. I just don't, the Oscars, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, yeah, okay, don't get me wrong. Like, I try to watch some of the movies that people wanted to see how their acting was. Sometimes the movie could be terrible and their acting is phenomenal. And I guess that's why they, you know, you can see why they won.
Mm-hmm.
But like, when you have everything is just phenomenal, like, how can you not accept this as let's say Dune wins or doesn't win? Like, what did you, like, man, I thought Mad Max for that year, 2015,
so
should have won, bro. Like, what beat that movie? Like, how?
Was that the La La Land year?
Yeah. How? Like, why did that win? It won because it had, you know, like, everyone, it was a musical, first of all. They love musicals.
Yeah, they really do. That's why I think.
Don't get me wrong. I had a phenomenal cast. The acting was good. Yeah, the music. I mean, I like that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think it's better than Mad Max.
No, sorry. And that's why I think Wicked is going to have a strong chance of beating Dune 2 because, like, they like that type of movie.
They
you do. Know?
They love it. They love it. Uh-huh. They love it. Yeah, but Dune. Yeah, I read the books when I was like 20, so it took 20 years ago. Definitely want to reread them now because, you know, when I was 20 and now I'm 40, I have a different way of thinking. Obviously.
You're not 40.
I'm 41.
You lie.
Dead serious. 41, February 4th. I was 41.
What year were you born?
83.
You're lying.
I'm dead serious, yeah.
For real?
Yeah, man.
You look good for 41, man.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
I also sound like a baby. So that was
you have the baby face sometimes.
I have the baby voice too, yeah. Like, every time I'm at work and I say something, I'm like, I'm the boss, but no one believes me.
Oh, 41, huh?
Yeah. 41.
41
yeah.
years young. That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy, bro?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm shocked I'm 41.
What were they
thinking? Sometimes I look in the mirror, I'm like, damn, I'm 41.
Yeah.
You've been
drinking the Fountain of Youth from somewhere, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I try. I mean, I'm always worried about something. So, like, if I didn't have so much worry, stress, I'd probably look even younger. But thank God. That's why I can't grow a beard. That's why I keep myself clean shaven. Mm-hmm. I try to grow a beard. It just looks like there's dirt on my face.
I get friendship, man.
So I'm like, just keep it clean. I think the clean shaven helps. Definitely helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 41. That's why, like, I read the books, like, in my 20s. This is like, I read Lord of the Rings in my 20s. Like, you know, and I appreciate it then. But now that, you know, 20 years later, different thoughts, different way of thinking, I want to reread the Dune books again.
I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm shook right now. I thought you were, like, my age.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm the baby of the UCP?
Yeah, you're definitely the baby. Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, George and RTT, they're just a couple years older than me. They're not that much older than me.
Okay, so you're 41. They're a couple years, so there might
be... Yeah, like 44 or something like that. Yeah, I don't think they're that much older.
Huh.
Because think about it. Tom was playing with a Spectrum, man.
You know, I wasn't here for the Tom era, so I didn't...
No, RGT.
Oh, okay, that Tom. Gotcha.
Yeah. He had a Spectrum. Gotcha. And I'm pretty sure George had something old. Like, yeah, I mean, I had an Atari, but it wasn't mine. My father was a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
So he had an Atari that I used to play, but then he had a Nintendo. So that's, you know, that's how I started playing games back in the day.
Oh.
So I grew up with, like, everything coming up, like a Nintendo, like NES up.
Mm-hmm.
I had all that.
I never had Nintendo PS1 up.
Yeah. I never had a Spectrum. I mean, yeah, I had an Atari, but I wasn't playing Atari games. It was just, I remember having it. I remember trying to play a few games, didn't like it because I had already had an NES. I'm like, the Atari's stupid. So I just started playing NES. Yeah, then moving up there. And then I never had a PC growing up. So my friend Adam had one. And that's how I discovered, like, Wolfenstein and Dune. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, PC games are crazy.
Yeah.
I always thought they were crap. I just never had a PC to play them. And then, you know, I got nervous, I guess, because of like, I'm not very computer savvy, even to this day. So like a graphic card or whatever audio, I'm like, oh, I don't want to get involved in PC gaming.
Okay. I get what you mean. So yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy though.
Hot diggity damn. I'm shook. I really am. I'm shook.
It's crazy, right?
Because I'm 32.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Did not know that. Learn something new every day.
Yeah, it's the red hair keeps you young, man, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's crazy. So that's wild. That's absolutely wild.
Yeah.
Man, I've gotten to be the old man in most of the groups that I'm in. Like, so it's weird for me to be the baby again.
You're
so,
the baby now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm baby bashing over here.
Gotta watch out for you, bro. Little baby Seb.
Yeah, little baby Seb. That's gonna be a meme now. Little baby Seb. But man,
that's funny, man.
Okay, so before we get up out of here, I do wanna brush up on some things because you're about to be on a hiatus of health, but then also like a renaissance of video game backlog goodness here. So you told us what you're gonna play. Does anything coming out interrupt that? So I'm like, because right now you're probably looking at Shadow of the Erdtree, thinking to yourself like, I'm dropping everything for that bad boy when that comes out, right?
Oh yeah, that'll probably hinder some, but yeah, I mean, obviously, it's still gonna be you could play with a friend. Mm-hmm. So I guess my stepfather will definitely buy it. So me and him will play it together. Okay. But if he's not online, then yeah, I'll play something else. But if he's definitely online, then I have to play that. There's no way I'm gonna skip that.
Okay.
What else is coming out?
I've never played Final Fantasy VII. So I.
Oh no, me neither.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm missing out.
I'll
right
be
there.
Out till like May. Like, damn, almost like mid-May.
Yeah.
So that's a long time.
It is a long time. You got Rise of the Ronin.
Oh, yeah, that's on my wish list. Definitely on my wish list, 100%. That looks amazing.
I was about to say, there's already, you know, I'm a part of some circles, and there's already a little bit of chatter about Rise of the Ronin.
Some games coming out. Yeah, no, it looks great.
So it's almost here. Then you got, let's see, what's the other one? What is the one that people are looking forward to that is a sequel? Dragon's Dogma.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always wanted to play them, just never had the chance. So I'll probably miss that one. I'll skip that one for now.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Then
But that's up my alley. I mean, that's up my alley.
Oh, yeah. It's not Souls game, but it's very Souls-like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can definitely see you jumping into that. And then...
And there's that something, Wrath of Epoch, but that's only for PC. But I heard rumors like maybe end of the year to come on consoles.
Wrath of Epoch? Oh, yeah, the last Epoch.
Yes, that's what it is. That looks excellent, bro.
That is up your alley because that's Diablo.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
It's everything that Diablo 4 apparently should have been to the fans.
It's Diablo without it being live service. It really is. It's like, so I'm like, I was like, I've dove into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. They sent me a review code for that. Yeah. That's been fun. That's been a little fun because I didn't play Diablo 4 because, you know, again, I'm anti-live service. Mm-hmm. So, I'm like, I never jumped into that.
No, I saw that game, like, wow, this looks... I have to get that game.
Yeah, I hope you say they did say it's coming to console soon?
Yeah, either going to be, like, late 2024 or, like, first quarter 2025.
Okay.
But either way. I mean, it's a long time, but either way, I have to get that.
That's good because I'm like right now I've been playing on PC and the Steam Deck and it works well. Like and my thing is if you can play it on a Steam Deck, it feels like you should be able to play anything on a console that comes on a Steam Deck because you're playing with the same type of controls, you know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, this has been interesting. One last thing before we go, definitively speaking, do you feel scared for single player gamers, like single player games, or you feel like, I don't know. Do you feel okay because you're
I don't
like,
think
I'm
going
to be eaten anyway, either way?
Well, I don't think, I mean, at least my opinion, I don't think they're ever going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be maybe as epic and long as we hoped for? Probably not.
Are there going to be as many volume wise? Yeah.
Well, I mean, if everyone's doing live service, and I don't think we're going to get many. And then what my fear is, if we're not going to get that many, they need to be like epic. And if they're not, and people don't like them, then that'd be another reason not to make them, which is what I'm scared of. Right. But my hope is like, okay, make a live service game, make it successful, because then you can use, like, if I was a studio, we could use all that extra money to focus on some single player games or whatever else you want to do in your, you know, wheelhouse of whatever, because not every live service game is, like, don't get me wrong, not every single player service game is going to make it either, but like, not every live service game is going to make it. And you're going to lose money, wind up doing budget cuts and everything else. And then everything else you have planned in the future might get cut. So you got to use it wisely. But I really hope it doesn't hinder first person games, because that's really what I love. And, you know, like, most of all, like, if there was no more co-op games or whatever, but you still have single player games, I mean, I still play.
Yeah.
If everything's live service, then I mean, that'll be pretty sad.
Yeah.
I hope not, bro.
Yeah, it's scary. Cause,
but the trend is weird. I didn't know that it was that heavily. I didn't know to the podcast. Like I said, every time I'm on the podcast, I'm like, oh, that's news to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really look at the news because I'm like, eh. But I'm like, no, that's a scary trend. That's scary. It's it's weird.
No, think about it like this. It's like, Nintendo is not a part of that trend because Nintendo rarely does any live service games. They only do little Nintendo games, and mm-hmm. they stick with what they know. Like, they stay in their lane for the most part. PlayStation and Xbox are leaning towards that trend. Of course, PC, if PlayStation and Xbox do it, PC is going to do it too. So it's like, it is a weird thing to where the landscape sort of looks different day by day because of all the layoffs, because of the rise of AI, because of the rise of CEOs, essentially that. This is like a CEO heavy environment that we're dealing with more than it is like a the rise of the gamer, I think, was in the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One generation. This generation, it's like the CEOs have more power to say, hey, let's do live service. Like, we want live service because, like, we'll take that gamble of, like, if this hits, we're $1 billion richer. If that single player game hits, we might get 200 million, you know, like,
yeah.
They're willing to risk life and limb, and oftentimes other people's lives more than theirs.
It's like corporate greed.
Yeah, it is. That's what it is.
And that's entirely. What's sad. Yeah.
That's what it is entirely. So I'm like, that's why I think, like, it's going to be right now, like, we're in a place to where, like, the games that are being developed right now they were already in the pipeline. So, like, a lot of those, whether it be live service or single player games, they're going to come out unless the studio gets shut down. But, like, it's scary because, like, man, next thing you know, like, if this tilts one way, like, it'll be live service heavy completely. If this tilts the other way, it might be like 50-50, 60-40. And for single player. And I think that's like the best we can hope for. But I don't think there's a world we live in where it's going to be like 80-20, which is probably what it should be. Where, like, because there's only so many, put it like this, you're a live service gamer, but you're a gamer that bounces from one live service to another, right? So that means your attention, games are fighting for your attention always.
Yeah.
Which means you can only play one game at a time, like, mm-hmm. it's one live service at a time. And that's the same for a lot of people. And for a lot of people, are they going to choose the hottest new thing, like, that might be a flash in the pan, or are they going to choose the thing that they put years of their life into, like a Fortnite, where they've spent like 8 years already playing that? You get what I mean?
No, it's true. Yeah. Like, For Honor. I mean, I played that game forever. I mean, I played that game for months and months and months. But then, like I said, I beat it because I got the, not that you ever beat the game, but I got the platinum for it.
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone kind of died off and we moved on. But you could still load it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a lot of people playing it, you know, because I guess it is successful. But that's not what I want all my games to be, man. That's for me. I'd be devastated.
Yeah,
like God of War now is like why?
Or instead of doing God of War, they do something that's completely live service. Like,
yeah, I hope that doesn't happen, man. I mean, that's kind of sad to think about.
Like another studio that I brought up the WB example, but think about it like this. When's the last time you heard anything from the Uncharted and Last of Us studio?
Oh yeah, no, nothing.
Because all this time they've been working on The Last of Us multiplayer.
Yeah, and it got canceled.
Yeah, and that was a live service game. Last of Us Faction.
That's crazy.
So I'm like,
money wasted. People got laid off.
And the project got canceled. And you know, like it's been rumored that they're working on more than one game. They're one of the few studios that's able to actually have multiple projects cooking. But that was a third of their studio working on Last of Us Factions. It's rumored that, you know, like they're working on a new IP, and now like they're starting to cook up The Last of Us 3. But like, yeah, that was a whole studio that was dedicated to working on one live service game.
Like thinking about the trends now, it's like live service games and any kind of remakes that they can get quick bang for your buck too. Because like the Tomb Raider trilogy, I'm sure a lot of people bought that game because they love the original games. Boom, instant purchase, right? Like me too. Demon Souls, they remade it. Bam, I bought that day one. Medieval, boom, bought that day one. So like that's the trend. Like remakes and live service. Like, what's going to happen with everything else?
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about.
You know, Nintendo does remakes. Like
they love doing it, man. They will remake a game 2 years ago because they can. And guess what? They'll pop. Nintendo has its own thing, man. They're their own category.
They can do whatever they want. You didn't mention any Nintendo games in your backlog. You going to be playing any of those?
No. I mean, I have Metroid, whatever it's called.
Dread, I'm guessing?
That's the Metroidvania one. I have that.
And then the Remastered.
I don't have that. I'm not going to get that.
Okay.
And I have... Well, I'm playing Mario Wonder now with my wife. She loves Mario.
Oh, your accent is different when you say that, by the way.
What?
You have a New York style accent when you say like that character's name.
Mario?
Yeah.
Like, of course. Mario. That's how you say it, right? That's how we say it.
I say Mario.
Oh, Mario. Yeah. Oh, that's how we say it.
Mario.
Yeah, it's wild, right? Sometimes it pops out heavy. So I play Die with her. She loves those games. So every time I see one, like, bam, I buy it. We play it together.
With your accent, can you say his catchphrase real quick?
Which one?
It's a me.
Mario.
See, you say Mario when you say his catchphrase. It's there, Mario.
Yeah, because I'm just imitating him.
Okay.
I can't do it like that. It's weird. I don't know. It's weird, right? If I'm making fun of somebody, I'm doing a catchphrase, I'll say it like as much as I can. But like, we have a guy at work and everyone calls him Mario.
I don't think
I've ever heard anybody say anybody like Mario. Oh, how do you say it?
Mario.
Yeah.
Like Mario.
Yeah. Miss Mario.
Wow.
It's weird. Strange.
Okay. Gotcha.
But yeah, so I have that. We'll have a good time with that. And then I do have... No, that's all I have for the Switch. Yeah, I haven't really bought anything for the Switch.
Mine's sitting in its little...
If it wasn't for Wonder, I probably wouldn't play it at all, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, mine's been dusty. Like I haven't.
It's just to me like another Nintendo console. Like, what are you going to buy? What are you going to buy on Nintendo? Like Mario games? Or are you going to buy Zelda? That's it. Like that's our Metroid. Like I'm not going to buy anything that I could play on my PlayStation because I know it won't be as good.
No, for sure not.
Like Halo Collection on Switch, why? Just go play it on Xbox. I mean, that's the best way you're going to get it anyway. So
yeah,
that's me. That's just wild.
Speaking of wild, before we get up out of here, I want to ask you, you know, George and all them always do the Wayne, like Rain Ray and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Let's just cut straight to the chase because we've been running long. What, you got any movie recommendations for us this week?
Bro, Dune.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, definitely, definitely see that. But I haven't really watched anything like movie wise lately. Mm-hmm. Just whatever's on Netflix, nothing caught my eye. I never saw Dexter.
Oh.
So me and my wife, we're binging that now, which I'm really enjoying. But yeah, I haven't really seen anything.
Have you got to the meme part on Dexter yet? Where it's like surprise
with
the
black. We're on season three. Almost done season three.
Okay, gotcha.
So I want to finish. Then I have a couple other movies and shows I want to watch. And I have a few horror movies I added to every list, like of every streaming stars I have,
mm-hmm.
to bang it out. But nothing that can call besides Dune. I mean, I want, if like, listen, when I'm on recovery, and I can go see that matinee for like $12, that's where I'll be.
I got a show for you then, Bobby.
Uh-oh.
I got a show for you. There's a show that everyone's been raving about called Shogun. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I did see it, but it's not all finished, right?
No, it's still going on.
I'm going to have to wait for that to be over because the anticipation of my patience to wait another week for something that's so good, I don't know if I could do it no more in my heart.
It's so good. Well,
I really wanted to play. Yeah, that's definitely high on my list.
Have you watched The Bear yet? The show?
Yeah, The Bear is phenomenal.
That
was such a good show, dude. I can't wait for the third season.
I can't either. I was trying to think of something else that might be up your alley to watch while you're recovering. Instead of writing in with a comment, write in with a show that you think that Bobby and I should watch.
That'd be great.
Yeah, write in with your
shows,
everyone. Your shows, your movies.
Yeah, movies, whatever, man.
Yeah. And show Bobby some of that sweet, nasty love and wish him well in his surgery and recovery, everybody. Everybody. This is not your traditional episode of the UCP, of course, because we are Americans. We do things cut, you know, we cut it down the middle. We get straight to the point here. We tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Is what we say over here. So everybody, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for all your support. Whether it be our crazy American UCP where we come on every once in a while and just, you know, go absolutely crazy on multiple topics and ramble and rave and about things we that has nothing to do with video games or, you know.
Know what our show's like?
What is it?
Two friends just meeting up on a weekend with some beer.
That's very much that. Yeah.
Except with beer, we're doing coffee.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's early in the morning here. It's early in the morning, but everybody in America, like when we're recording over there, like it's the AM, everybody.
It's early.
Yeah. Here in Texas, the crow, like the chickens haven't even cock-a-doodle-doo.
Did your clocks go back?
Yeah.
You do that in Texas too?
Yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was watching the UFC fight last night because I'm a UFC person, but, yeah, and then like the fights ended after Sugar Sean's fight, and then all of a sudden, like an hour later, it's like 3 a.m. And I'm like, the hell just happened?
I really don't know why we still do that. Some states don't do it at all.
I think Arizona
do.
Yeah. Arizona's like, just like, nah, we're not
like,
doing that.
But like, what is the benefit of it now with all this electricity and technology we have? What was like? I don't understand.
It's just from
what I understand. It was supposed to be for like farmers back in the day for more daylight or something.
Mm-hmm.
Do we still need to do that? I don't think so, bro.
I don't think so either. But you know, like, there are certain regions that have just X'd that out, and they're like, we're not doing this foolishness.
Like right now, like if we didn't tell Jordan RGT about our time difference, we would record with them, and they would give us. We would be on the wrong time.
Do they not move?
They don't do that. So like we're five hours behind, but now I think we're four.
Wow.
Because that happened one time when I recorded with them. I'm like, I'm here. And no one responded. And I'm like, okay. And then it texts me, oh, you ready? I'm like, an hour later, sure. But they didn't do it. I didn't know that England didn't do that. So that kind of blew my mind a little bit. So now, yeah, it's crazy.
That is crazy.
Before that's America for you.
Yeah, it is. You know, sometimes we're backwards. Sometimes we're backwards. We make our own like measuring systems and everything like that.
Forget about the world. Man.
Yeah, we'll do our own thing.
Ours are not even that accurate.
No, for real not.
If you cook with everyone's other measuring system, it's perfect.
Huh?
can't really get our measure system to be teaspoon. Like if you do it by grams, and then it's the perfect amount.
Oh.
Right? Like 2 teaspoons. Okay, but what is 2 teaspoons? It's grams. It's like that is the set. Bam. 22 grams. Boom. That's what you put in there.
See, us Southerners don't even know about teaspoons. We measure by what the spirits of our ancestors tell us.
Oh, like, yeah, bro. I feel like I'm a Southerner, bro. Because when I'm cooking food, I'm like, nah, not enough. A little bit extra. That's what I always do. The more season, the better.
Yeah, that's probably why I have acid reflux right now. But like, it's probably why.
That's it, bro. Throw it in there so it looks good.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Bobby, before we go, where can the good people find you?
Oh, you could find me on my, I haven't been on there a while, but I plan to do some stuff now that I'm going to be recovery. It's the _chronicles _of_a_gamer on IG. That's all
You're
I really
kidding.
Have.
Is that me underscores?
It's that me underscores. Yeah, because I like, you couldn't space out. Okay. Instagram was weird to me back then. And then I wanted to like just put like dots, like periods.
Okay.
But I'm like, then I wanted to do a whole name, but then like, how do you read that? So I felt underscores was the best way to do that. Now I'm like, man, when I tell somebody my Instagram name, it's kind of ridiculous, but.
You got it. That feels like a copy. I'll send you my Instagram name to be a text. That sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'll text it to you.
Yeah.
And that's really all I'm on Instagram.
Okay.
I just covered games I played alphabetical order. I was with the PS2. I think the letter H. I want to continue that. Let's see. Okay. I mean, that's my plan now anyway, so.
Okay. All right.
And what about you?
Man, y'all can just find me on the web at Sebastian PNR. Like, and then listen to the Single Player Experience podcast if you got a chance. It is very much just like this zaniness that you heard just now. So yeah, everybody go check that out. And yeah, thank y'all so much for listening. Thank y'all so much for putting up with me and Bobby this morning or afternoon.
R3.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Everyone stay safe, stay gaming, and have a great day. Until next time, this has been the American UCP, and we're out. Bye, everybody.